It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, what a very strange time it is.
Tamaria, Rachel, yeah, it is. I just sort of woke up thinking about that this morning. Came into work early and didn't need to come in that early because there weren't that many cars on the motorway. But hey, this is something that I've never experienced before in my lifetime. Nobody else has either. And, you know, I'd like to say that hopefully we'll never have to experience again, but I suspect that with the, you know, the globalisation of the world, we will see this periodically. And, you know, the countries that have dealt best with this crisis are the ones that had to adapt for SARS, like Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore. They've been through it before and they were ready. And this, in one sense, is... you know, we've got to get through this, but we've got to learn the lessons of this to make sure that each and every time something like this happens around the world, we are ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think the really good thing is that we've pretty much kept ahead of a lot of other countries in their response. The timing has been everything, so that at the point we needed to take unprecedented steps, we've taken them. Closing off travel from China, first of all, you know, closing our borders, which we did a week ago, now closing the whole of the country down before we get the first death, before we have the rampant transmission of the disease within the country, and hopefully heading that off. But, you know, there will be more cases. There will be person-to-person transmission within the community. What we're doing now is really radical, hugely impactful on people's incomes and the economy, but it's about saving, you know, maybe tens of thousands of lives.
So there's quite a few things, I think, to unpack here, but I think one question that's come up a lot, I've seen it a lot on social media, people have also been asking us, what does level 4 lockdown look like on a day-to-day basis for people? How are we allowed to sort of go about our daily lives? We've got people asking about, are we allowed to go for walks? What does it mean to go for a sort of like get some air, go for a run, that kind of thing? What's the deal with beaches, playgrounds, public spaces that people will usually in a normal situation be using as refuge? What about those spaces under level 4, Phil?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think the answer is pretty clear. The general message to us, in fact it's an instruction now, is that from tomorrow night we'll stay at home, other than if we, first of all, if you need to go out to the supermarket, to the pharmacy, to the doctor, to the vet, you know, or if you're working in an essential service. But staying at home doesn't mean home detention. It doesn't mean that you're locked within your house. There is scope for us to get out and do the things that you talked about. You know, go for a walk, go to the local park, go to the beach. But please, not like they were doing on Bondi Beach. The essential thing is self-isolation is about you being in close contact only with people within your household. You know, this is a big deal. You know. Telling my wife that she's not going to be able to give her grandson or granddaughter a cuddle for the next month, you know, at a very personal level, that's a big deal.
It is.
Not seeing our kids, you know, but those are the things that we need to do to keep safe. We've still got contact by phone. You can still talk over the fence to the neighbour. You can still go for a walk, but your requirement is to keep 2 metres away from anybody else. So it's look, all of these things are pretty much common sense. Why are we doing it? Because probably the only way at this point in the transmission of the disease to stop it becoming rampant in our community is to self-isolate. So it's the common sense things. Of course you've got to go to the supermarket. Of course you need to go to the doctor. Maybe you've got to take your pet to the vet. And, you know, you're not locked within your doors. You can go out. But you've got to follow those injunctions about distance from people and not turning it into a party at the park.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that. And, you know, fortunately, we've got 1,000 kilometres of beaches in Auckland, and that leaves a little bit of room for all of us. We can still walk down the beach, but without interacting in a close personal sense with others. Say hello to people. Keep in touch with your neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
If there are old people, you know, in the neighbourhood, they probably shouldn't even be going out to the supermarket. Can you give them a help? Can you do their shopping for them? So it's combining what we need to prevent social isolation while keeping physical isolation, if we can get that balance.
We've had a very specific question about playgrounds, and I know that people will be worrying about what to do with their small children who will be home from kindy and from school for the next foreseeable while. What is the deal with playgrounds? Because obviously there's a lot of like physical contact with equipment and stuff there. What would be your thoughts on that?
My thoughts would be go for a walk. This is a hard one. Taking a three-year-old to the park and saying you can't go on the swing. Probably it would be best if you kept away from the swing, but if you are on the swing, have some sanitizer in your pocket so you can wash hands, etc. Touching, the rules are reasonably strong around this. We know that COVID-19 can survive on hard surfaces, sometimes up for 72 hours. So, if we want to minimise the risk of catching and transmitting the disease, probably better to leave that playground equipment alone. And that means if you're walking in the park, don't walk in the direction of the playground equipment. take them for a walk through the trees and past the pond and all the other things. But my advice would be, this is personal rather than well-informed advice, but touching surfaces that other people have touched, that does create a risk, and we're trying to minimise the risk. We know our kids probably won't be killed by it, but the kids can transmit to others, and what we're looking at doing is protecting the people in our community who are vulnerable. We've got an obligation to them.
Absolutely. Another question that we've had come through is, of course, we have a lot of beautiful beaches around Auckland, big beaches that people like to drive out to. What are the sort of rules or, I guess, the regulations around, you know, going for a drive out to Piha, for example?
Yeah, from what I can tell from the regs, and there's a whole lot of things that, you know, obviously in the short space of time that the government had, all the T's aren't crossed and the I's dotted, but driving around your region, you're not transmitting a disease being in your car. Keeping within your region so there's no risk of transmitting it from one region to another is quite important. So I suppose we're talking, you know, again, I'm making this up as I go along, but the Auckland region is a region as a whole, and going to the beach, it's starting to get a bit cooler for swimming, but safe to swim, I would have thought, and safe to walk along the beach, but, you know, not close contact between people. That would be my common sense interpretation of what the regs involve.
Talking more about infrastructure now, of course, even before the government's announcement yesterday, you and the Auckland Council moved to close public spaces like libraries, art galleries and other such buildings. What are some of the ways in which the council, I guess, is supporting those institutions? Because libraries, for example, are a huge lifeline for people. How are people able to access that, and what's it going to look like when eventually they can reopen?
Well, one thing I think it'll do is revolutionise the way in which we a lot of people actually use their library resource. At the moment, you can get a digital library card. You can do it online. I think it takes about 5 minutes. It's called Libby. And that will give you access to tens of thousands of books. Now, I know for, and the libraries, if you go into any of our libraries, there are a lot of older people there. Not wasn't safe for them to be there because it's just impossible to keep every surface clean and to stop the transmission of the disease. But encouraging them and for our younger people to help some of the older people about what you can access, because it's not simply books, but you can access films, you can access documentaries, etc. We were looking before we got to the level 4 announcement at whether there might be other ways in which we can provide for the physical accessing of books while minimising the transmission of the virus. I think probably that work won't continue given a level 4 alert that exists. But we do want to help people, to be able to access it, and the best way to do that is electronically. Now, that may not be of help to a small but a significant group of people that don't have electronic devices in their home. We'll be working through over the coming weeks to see what other ways we can play a role in stopping that, you know, one of the big things that worries me at the moment is not just the physical risk of the transmission, but what it does for people. I've got family members who live on their own. that's a very isolated situation. So a lot of it's down to us as individuals, you know, friends, relations, people we might know that have been bereaved. Give them a call. Have a chat on the phone. Brighten up their day, you know. Mm. That sort of thing is going to be really important. The government and the council can do a certain amount, but there's a whole lot of things that we as individual members of our community can do to make life easier for others. The Prime Minister has, I think, coined the phrase about being kind. I see that's being widely used now. And there'll also be some stressful situations, you know, when people cooped up in a house together, you know, as it is over the Christmas period, you often get a whole lot more family tension. Mm. It's meant to be time of peace and joy and goodwill to mankind. It does create a tension when people are cooped up in the same space. So we're just going to have to look at our own way in which we interact with those that are sometimes nearest and dearest to us, so that we're not stepping on their toes, getting on their nerves, and we can peacefully coexist. And that will all be part of the challenge of what we're going through. I mean, challenges at every level. I won't even get onto the economics of this. They will be huge. Having said, I wouldn't get onto it. you know, we've got to look. I'm just tackling a problem at the moment. We've been using our catering staff, because most of our staff at the Auckland Council are already working from home. Mm. 4,500 were logged in from home yesterday. That means that our cafeteria is not operating. So cafeteria staff can't work from home. So what did we have them doing? They were preparing meals for people in hardship and the homeless through Auckland City Mission. Now, I've got to find out whether we can keep doing that. Are we essential workers in providing that? What do we do about the people that are on the streets? Because, you know, the whole world's changing for them as well.
Absolutely.
And they've got the least protection. So huge challenges ahead of us. But, you know, I don't want people to get depressed about it, because there will be light at the end of the tunnel. We can get through this. We can hopefully get through it better than most other countries. And there will be, you know, we know that there is a cycle. We'll get through that cycle, and then the challenge will be to build the recovery. So, you know, when we think back to our parents' or grandparents' generation, they went through traumas that we haven't experienced. Actually, this is our first taste of it. But, you know, the spirit of the Blitz and all of that sort of stuff, if anybody listening to your program remembers that saying, that's going to be important. Hang together, work together as a community, think about others, help others and support others where you can, and know that we'll get through it in the end.
Thank you very much, Mayor Phil Gough. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. And, of course, we're going to have lots of time to really unpack this over the next few weeks.
And we'll keep talking, I hope.
And we will keep talking. We absolutely will keep talking. We will see you next week, Phil. Thank you for your time.
And to you and all the listeners, take care in the weeks ahead.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough. It's